Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast episode number 356. What's your end game? So this is the latest I've sent my buddy, my producer, my good friend Nico, a podcast. Because it was like this feeling I had that I wanted to share a message before I spoke about my Tahoe trip. And I don't know why, and it just stuck with me and stuck with me until I had a message to record before I recorded my time in Tahoe. And that's what ended up happening, but I pushed the limits, and like I said, Nico's just been a great producer and a great friend, and he kind of came to my aid couple days ago, and like I said, now sending him this episode late. He's just been my go-to guy, my shotgun. So just a big thank you to Nico for being Nico. But you know, I was in a good place. I went to Tahoe and had an amazing trip, and I came back and, you know, just stayed in a good place, but I was just having these conversations. And I just kept, you know, and I heard about a couple people, talked to a couple people, and it was just like, where are we headed? And the quote that kind of hit me, it was a memory that showed up on Facebook, and it was July 4th, 4 years ago. And I had recorded a video talking about a mutual friend of ours, a client of mine, had a heart attack, and I think he was like 50. And it's like that moment when you stop, and my client was like, you know, I got to go to the doctor, and I got to get, you know, it's like, find out, you know, if you feel like there's something funky, you know, find out, and it can be scary and unsettling. And then I came up with this quote, and I said, if a voice came to you that you firmly believed in and said you had X amount of time, 1 month, 1 year, 5 years left to live, would you live differently? If so, it's something to think about. You know, because I just see a few people grinding. And I heard about a good friend. And his plan is just to grind for a few more years. And then he'll retire. And I'm like, well, retire to what? Bad health, bad back. Bad health. I was like, wow, you know, so that was kind of my point when I was like, you know, where are you headed? What's in your head? What are you doing right now? Is what you're doing right now allowing the better you to evolve? Aiding in that process? So I kind of just kind of started saying that phrase, that end game, like, you know, where are you headed and at what cost? Because if you think, oh, I'm doing this thing and I'm making lots of money, so that's all that matters, I just really, really think you need to take a closer look. You know, my sister never got to sit back and enjoy all that she was working for. You know, so that's in my head all the time. And when I'm speaking to people, I hear them. I can feel them. I can tell they're not quite as content as I am now. They're not quite as peaceful as I am now. They're not as present as I am now. So it's like, again, when I'm walking the earth, I'm like, you know, I'm feeling this. This is a good thing. I want to share this. I want people to own this. I want people to do this. I want people to experience what I'm experiencing. So that's what I'm like, you know, I want this message to be clearer. I want to record this podcast, or I want, you know, I just sometimes deep down going, there's just something that's not there yet. A message that hasn't completely formed. I'm not really sure how to bridge this gap between, you know, conscious and unconsciousness. Like what's vibrating in the back and what I'm allowed to bring forth or what I can bring forth. You know, it's always trying to get to that point where when I speak, someone can learn from it. Someone can take part of that and go, okay, I can apply that. I can use that. But the first step is just deeming yourself worthy. Like, you aren't listening to this and you're not hearing it. You know, so it's people that look and reach and allow change to happen and don't mind what happens and are highly aware that what's most omnipotent is the response that they choose once life happens. So that's what this episode's about. Me chatting about where are you headed? What are you doing? At what price? And sometimes that's a scary stop, pause, look, reflect moment. Because what if you don't want to stay where you are? Mentally, emotionally, physically, logistically, spiritually. And I talk about that, how we kind of will pick as humans. We will pick suffering over change due to fear. Enjoy. So as I sit here, 10 a.m. on a Tuesday, this podcast will go up in 48 hours. I don't think I've ever waited this long to record a podcast, but I took a little break. I took a little vacation time, a little Tommy time. And it was only going to be 2 days, two nights in Tahoe. But a couple of days before, I'm like, well, why don't I just kind of take a mental break from some things before social media? Not try to post as much stuff, not be worried about it. And an example of giving yourself permission. And the trip to Tahoe was amazing, and I'll get to that. But it was more when I came back, I was like, there's just some things I don't want to do. Like, I enjoyed the time off, and I enjoyed the time off from that which I do every day. I'd like to be away from, you know, L.A., Hollywood, and all that I do. Just stepping outside, like, physically when you leave that area, it typically aids in kind of distancing yourself from all that typically pulls and tugs on you as you walk your daily path. So when I got home, I didn't jump right back in to the social media stuff. And I had one podcast. And probably this year or maybe longer, it's like I have a podcast recorded and I do the intro and the outro, send it Sunday-ish. That goes up Thursday. And then during the week, I take notes. The next Saturday, recording. So I always have one in the bank. Well, I didn't because of Tahoe. I would record typically on a Saturday. I was in Tahoe, so I didn't record. So I waited the whole week, you know, posted the one on Thursday, then Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I'm like, just, it wasn't that I didn't want to record, but it was just like, I enjoyed the time off. And then I had notes from before Tahoe, a bunch of things that happened in Tahoe, and then a bunch of notes after. And it was almost like I couldn't really decide, like, do I record an episode sharing A and then do a Tahoe one? And I wasn't really sure. And I'm like, I should just do two. And then just because I kind of didn't know, it was like I wasn't really addressing it. I'm like, I'll just figure it out later. And then I'm like, well, Monday. I like to get up in the morning, do it Monday. Can't. So I'll just do it Tuesday. Nico's pretty cool about that. Shout out to Nico. As long as they get it to him by, you know, Tuesday night. he's fine for getting it out by Thursday morning. I just like to do it Sunday mornings. It's quiet, just something I've just really gotten the habit of doing. And I've always had one kind of in the books. And here I was going, okay, you don't have one to submit. You don't have an intro. You don't have an outro. You don't even have an episode. And you're like all calm and relaxed. But see, I noticed that. Like, I felt really good this entire year. And I had a great trip. I felt good when I came back. And the notes I wrote last night were like, go backwards. Start from last night and just start sharing your story of what's been going on. But then this morning, I had Senior Mosier as a client. And he's not going through tough times. He's the best he's ever been. And so he's just looking at some big questions in life. And I just got done telling him this. I think it's got to be around 4 years, I'm guessing, 4 or 5 years that I've been training him on and off. And when we first trained and he left, there was like this weird feeling. Like I had never really kind of got to that place with a friend. Like, this is a guy, this is a guy I really like. Like, I really like this guy and I really like talking to him. And he's just going to, and at that time he was going to Paris to make a movie. And I was like, that's it. It's not like you're not, hey, what's up? Just chat. Cause, he's in Paris. He's gone. He's working. He's busy. He's got a life. And I was just kind of dumbfounded. Well, it was, a year or so later, he'd pop into town, visit, call me. We'd train. And then he came back and he lived here for a while. So we trained again. Then he moved again. Then he's in Oakland. I'm like, okay, now we're done. And now it's like I see him twice a week. Every week, and then started training his wife, so started seeing him 3 times a week. And it was just like, we're like, friends that talk all the time. And I text him whenever I want, send him stupid stuff, don't care. And I said to him this morning, I go, when you left the first time, it was like this weird feeling. I'm like, okay, I really like that guy and he's gone. I'm like, it didn't make sense. I go, I thought of this the other day, how you and I are right now. That's exactly what I felt way back then. I just didn't know over time it would happen. But like, it's, just that comfortableness, calling him, texting him, telling him stuff, talking. And we got into this huge chat, and it was more about me kind of telling him what I saw. And I was just going, look, I'm on this earth right now to tell people that are in my lives the truth about them. And I'm so excited because if you're in my tribe right now, I care about you a lot because I have a new vibe, built a new tribe. Some people have, weathered the storm and made it through, the past and are still with me. But a lot of the people are new. So to get in my life, get in my circle, you got to be a special individual. So I really, really care about all of my people, my tribe. And if I really, really care about those people, I would want to be the best me. So if and when a moment came around that I could maybe help them, be of some assistance, I would love to be that version of me. And that's what I am. I started noticing. I started telling every client the same thing. And lately I've been saying, my story is what's possible. I have less than everything I've ever had, and I've said that a ton of time, and I'm the best I've ever been. We got March 2020, turning 55. I was fired up, felt great. Everything, the world was perfect. You're thinking, yeah, and then it got bad. Nope. April got a little better. May got a little better. June got a little better. Still just a little better in July. Walk the earth. Have experiences. Share those experiences. That's all I'm doing. But it's been tough last couple of months for some people. And not a lot of people sounding like me, saying the things I'm saying. And there's a few people that I'm in their lives and I'm like, wow, I'm so glad that I get to be in your life. Sharing this perspective. Sharing what I've learned. Sharing what I think has real value to people that I want to effect. And I want them to just digest, swallow, eat, embrace, own all that I'm sharing. Because when I'm talking to you and I know you, I'm going 2 and 2 is 4. That's not an opinion. To me, what I'm sharing is factual. And I can see it. As soon as someone starts talking, I'm like, man, you're so hard on yourself. You don't have to figure that out. Give yourself a break. Be in the now. Be present. Be thankful. Look how much you have. If you go back 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and you saw a video of you right now, you're like, wow, I'm great. That's perfect. How am I doing? Well, not that good. Why? Because you're worried about stuff you can't control. You know, you're grinding, trying to get things done so one day you can be happy and peaceful. It's like there's just so many people. I should rephrase that. There's not so many people because I don't talk to a lot of people. There's very few people that I chat with. And of those few people, a lot of them are kind of thinking. I shouldn't say a lot. A few of them are thinking, when I get to A, I'll enjoy. I'll take time off. I'll be at peace. I'll rest. I'll recover. I'll slow down. I'll reflect. And this one example, a friend of mine said, I haven't heard from a long time to a mutual friend. He says, his back is bad. Hands are bad. He's making a ton of money and just figures he's just going to grind till he's 51 and retire. And my heart just sank. I know and love this dude. And he used to be a pretty fit dude. And he's a lot younger than me. Probably in his early 40s. And he's jacked. Bad back, bad hands, bad health. Drinks a little too much. It's like, okay, fast forward where he is now, 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, I don't see that getting any better. I see him getting worse. And let's just say somehow he makes it to 51. What's there to enjoy? You got a bunch of money, don't have to work. You can't turn your head. You can't bend over. You can't tie your shoe. And it's just like, again, this stuff just, it glows when I'm talking to people or hearing about people. And just, I don't know, it was like this pause where I was just like, you know, what do I say? You know, is there just one common theme that I should tell people, talk about, share? And the cat that I went and visited in Tahoe, he sent me a text. He goes, it's like time has no effect on your lifeline. So much done. So much satisfaction. Now that came from a guy that builds multi-million dollar homes in Tahoe. And he's got a dope home and an amazing wife, and they're a great duo. And, you know, like I can tell there's part of him that looks at me and goes, wow, how you doing that? And I love this guy. He bought me a book, The Hero Within. Not a big reader, but I'm going to read it because I got it from a great friend. And I love the dude. And our talks were right on the same level as me and Mosier's. So when he says something, I kind of took that as a compliment. You know, he's walking the earth, searching for balance, you know, chasing his goals, dreams. And he's doing, like, he's a great guy. Him and his wife live life well, you know. But he's in that place where he kind of questions, you know, at what cost? And I'm like, yay, you're woke. We kept joking. You are woke, man. You're the most woke dude I know. But he's highly aware. And he's always, you know, kind of checking his pulse. How am I doing? You know, at what cost am I pursuing that? And I think he likes having me in my life because I bring that little different vista. And he's like, wow, okay. And then when I left, I'm always, you know, thank you for being you in my life. And he said, thank you for being you and bringing it to Tahoe. Like, I didn't go to Tahoe. I brought this thing with me. And he could see it, taste it, feel it. And again, I'm thinking, well, how could I ever help that guy, affect that guy? That guy's got a ton of cash and a big job, travels the world, married, he's happy, healthy. I'm like, pfft. And there we were, talking for like 4 hours one day, just, and I had stuff to say. And things that kind of made him stop and think and pause. And I'm like, wow, I'm so thankful. And that's what it always comes down to. I love being me and the conversations and moments that I'm having currently. How did I become me? By my past. You know, I did A for 48, 49 years, and then I did B. And now I'm 55. So I got a good 6-7 years of doing it this different way, slowly but surely. Very tiny increments. But I kept doing it because I felt better. I kept doing it because I was better. I could tell I was growing. And I like these people and I evolve with these people and we maintain these conversations. And I'm like, wow, they're growing and I'm growing. So I'm going to stay in touch with them. They're evolving, I'm evolving. I'm going to stay in touch with them. And there's not a lot of those people. But if you are, I'm like, wow, that's a huge compliment. Because if I spend my time, I share my energy, I speak to you, that's a compliment because I just don't do that. I'm not looking for that. I'm not bored in my life at all. I just, like, again, I just, as soon as I start talking to him, it's just, I see 2 and 2 is 4. And I'm going, okay, I'm going to tell him, hey, I see 4. And I'm like, you know, that's, it's not an opinion. And it sounds weird because, you know, it is. But it, when it comes out, it's not. I'm like, this is a fact. And no one really ever argues with me. Like, you're wrong. I'm like, no, I'm right. Because the best way to be is to just be. And these are words I hated, never used for 50 years. And now I get them. I cling to them. I live by them. What do you be? Just be. What does that even mean? Just be present. What does that mean? You're just like in the moment. Like whatever that moment is, you're there mentally. You're not thinking about this morning. You're not thinking about tonight. You're not thinking about yesterday. You're not thinking about tomorrow. You're not thinking about changing something, fixing something. That's worrying. You're not anticipating, thinking about the future. That's stress. So if you're just eating what's in front of you, you're in that moment. You've reduced your stress and you've reduced your worry, and that feels good. So you're like, hey, maybe I'll keep doing this. And then you quiet the noise, and it's calm, and it's peaceful in between your ears. You're like, hey, I really, really like doing this. And there's that battle. Hey, you're being lazy, and you should fill time, and you're not making money, and yada, yada. But that's all it is, yada, yada. Like, it's just the biggest thing that hits me right now automatically is when someone starts talking, I'm like, what's that got to do with you? I'm like, what does that got to do with you? And it's so automatic with me now. But it's because I built that. It wasn't automatic at 49, 50, 51, 52. How I feel, how I, you know, how I just walk the earth. It's like I trained myself to do this. Walking Zen the other day, and I told it to like 2 clients. I looked down, I'm like, you just know he's not thinking about nothing, you know? And in that moment, I'm like, I'm not thinking about nothing, so I can think about my dog and wonder about what he's thinking about because I know he's in the moment. And I'm in the moment. And then I'm aware of that. And I'm like, I just kind of stay here now. Wouldn't I want to share that? Wouldn't I want that for the people listening to my clients when I'm talking to them? I'm like, this is what I'm experiencing. I would love for you to have this. This is how I got here. Being thankful. Like, I got less and less and less, so there's really less to be thankful for, but I became more and more thankful. And I was telling Mosher, I said, you know, I got to this place where I became thankful for things I didn't have. Things I wasn't going through, things I wasn't experiencing. Because just being regularly thankful wasn't enough for me. And that's truth. And it became this superpower. I'm so thankful. And it wasn't because of the long list. It was for what I had. Oh, that dog, his health, this house, that food, my health, money to pay bills. I'm like, shit, okay, good. I got everything covered. Like, right now, today, I'm awesome. And in 5 minutes, I could say, wow, right now, today, still, I'm awesome. And it's just, it becomes a muscle. And it gets stronger, and you're more thankful, and you flame that fire, so that fire grows, and then you focus on the fire more, and you're like, wow, it's really burning, I should flame it more. Wow, it's flaming more, I feel so good, I feel fulfilled, I feel at peace. Simultaneously, you're starting to quiet all the other junk, all the other noise, all the white noise, all the yellow. So it's like, yeah, all that stuff, there's a bunch of things that I could let occupy the space between my ears. It's still there. Beautiful mind. You know, gets the Nobel Peace Prize, married, looking good. Yay, you won. Where's your delusions? Right there. No pause. No, I mean, highly aware of his demons. He just changed and looked at them differently. Put them to the side. Didn't focus on them. Move forward. So there's things I don't have. There's a bunch of things I wanted. I mean, I was kind of going through this list of Scott, you know, when you hit this point where you're like, you know, am I giving up or am I letting go? Letting go is a cool thing. Giving up's bad. It's like, well, you know, you almost in the moment feel like you failed. Like, I really wanted my first marriage to last forever. I really wanted my second marriage to last forever. I really wanted a relationship with my father. I really wanted a relationship with my siblings. Now, 55-year-old Tom goes, so what? What's that got to do with you? Work on you. Be a better you. And I get that. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Don't matter what you have. Work on you. Become better. Be thankful. And that shift, I mean, it was, you know, it's like I still feel the vibration of going, ching, you're good enough. You judge you. You be your own cheerleader. Talk to yourself. Like, you talk to everybody. And that was kind of like this year, last 6-8 months. And not that I was preparing for the pandemic and everything that's going on right now, but I'm really doing better than everybody that I know. Like, I was prepped for it. I was doing less, going less, spending less. And then money got better. So bills were paid, and I got way thankful. So yesterday morning, Sunday morning it is, and I'm a different guy financially now because how life treated me and how I chose to respond. And I shared that, wow, I was going to spend $18,000 on land and didn't because, you know, this septic tank thing wasn't approved, but it ended up falling through. And fast forward, I spent exactly $18,000 that I had saved just through life. And I'm like, well, that's a weird exact number. And I'm like, and then when it hit that point, it was April of 2020, and I got a new client, and I could pay my bills, so I didn't have to go into my 401k anymore. And then May was better, June was better. You know, it's like I'm good with money. It's like, so I just stopped, like exactly at $18,000, which I would have spent on land, is the exact amount I dipped into and needed for reserve or whatever. I mean, that's just crazy to me. But then I was like, well, okay, this guy had some financial problems. He's like, I'm just going to go to once a week. I go, nah, stay twice a week. I'm good. Do you like them? They benefiting you? He's like, yeah, I feel great. I'm like, okay, let's keep going. Another woman lost her job, and she texted me, and she was kind of freaking out. And I said, well, let's start talking again. And, you know, just I wasn't thinking about money. I didn't care about money. I had rent. And so the end of June, you know, got back from Tahoe, I paid rent, and I had rent for August. And I was like, you don't use a whole lot of things, but there's a couple things you use a lot of. And if you have the money, you go get yourself that thing. Because I don't, you know, again, I became very frugal with my money. What do I really need? You know, buying coffee at a coffee shop, fast, or, you know, going out to food, out to eat, getting food delivered, movies, any of that stuff. I just, part of it I wasn't doing because I wasn't going anywhere. I didn't have anyone to go with, but the other part was the money stuff. It's like, well, I'll just, you know, make my own coffee. I'll just make a sandwich at home. I'll just do, you know, so it literally changed. And I was like, almost paying my bills, making way less money. And I'm like, well, this is kind of a win-win. I mean, if I can only work this much and pay all my bills, I'm like, I'll just keep doing it. It's like, well, that I figured out during crunch time. You know, it wasn't a fun time when I was not making money and couldn't get new clients, but I changed in a positive way. So now you fast forward. I'm better. I'm great at slowing down. I'm great at chilling. I'm great at just being with my dog. And I start making money, paying my bills. And now I feel spoiled. So now I'm helping people. And I'm like, now I'm even more thankful because I feel super blessed because there's so many people doing bad. And I'm doing like the best I've ever done. So I go, you know, I'm going to get a new phone. I've got an iPhone 8 and it's just been having problems and doesn't back up. And I'm like, just look, just go online. So I've been with AT&T forever, and I've always had problems with them, never liked them, always have issues. Of course, I, you know, think my bill's too much. So I call up, and I said, I'm looking for the iPhone X, iPhone 10. I thought you'd have any deals on it, you know, since I'm with AT&T, could I get a new phone through you? Long story short, we end up getting the XR, which is kind of the better iPhone X, and that was the only one they had special on. And you couldn't pay for it up front. You had to pay just $20 a month. And I'm like, well, so you're going to pay extra, right? She's like, nope. It's $600, and that's kind of what I was looking to spend. I was like, I wonder if I could, you know, only spend like $600 and get a new phone. And it's like, you know, you have to, you know, pay, and you can't pay it off early or else you get penalized. So I'm like, okay, it doesn't cost me anymore. I don't have to come up with all the money right now. I just have to pay for the tax. And I'll get this phone and then just pay $20 a month and add it to my bill until it's paid off. She goes, yep. And we can have it delivered for you today. And I was like, this is, just, you know, like this different guy having really different experiences. And I was like, wow, it was just a great conversation. Like everything went in my favor. Got a great phone, great price. And they're like, yeah, and then turn in your own phone, we'll give you a refund. And I'm like, what just keeps getting better? I'm like, this is awesome. So then I hit this little snafu. And this is like the best moment. Because they deactivate my old phone and I can still text, but I can't call. And they kind of made it sound like when this woman person dropped off the phone, it was going to be all set up. And she just basically handed me a box and I had to open it up and go through it. So like the second step was enter your Apple ID. And I had to buy Word, the whole program last year at some point. And when I got the new Word, all the Word documents that I had saved, some were missing. And one was, drumroll, passwords. And I knew that was going to kind of bite me in the ass at some point, but I was like, well, what do? I can't just recall them from memory and write them down. And I was like, whatever. So I'm trying like 50, 60 different ones, just every different version. And like, I just... And I'm sitting there going, okay, I can't call to get help. And I have two phones. And I'm like, all I can do is text. And I'm like, well, I can't text a store. I can't text AT&T. I can't, I can just text a person. And then I'm going, you know, who? And I'm like, okay. Another shout out to my friend Nico, fabulous producer that he is. And I'm like, let me just see if Nico's up. Because now it's like I got the phone a little late, like 4:30 on Sunday. They're supposed to be here before 4. And then by the time I kind of started putzing in, it was around 6 o'clock. And then I started having the problems and I couldn't sign in. And I was looking, and it was just, so it was about 7:30 my time, which is a lot later in Canada. And I was tired. And I'm like, this is like the worst case scenario. Perfect storm. It's late. I'm tired. I'm kind of drained. It's the end of the day. And I've got this snag. And I'm going to call someone to ask for help. Well, my magical lucky unicorn, Nico, we start chatting. He's like, well, if you put your phone by it. And I'm like, it said that right away. And nothing happened. Nothing transferred or whatever. And, you know, it's supposed to just magically start transferring information from phone to phone without plugging it in when you put them by each other. So we went through a couple things. And I was telling him, I go, look, I just can't remember, and there's no way to call or go to a place to reset my password because I can't get on my phones. So he starts thinking and we start putzing, and it was just like this moment where all of a sudden, poof, on my old phone. It's like transfer data, new device. And I was like, oh my God. So like, just talking to Nico, I felt was the lucky charm that made this happen. So it starts, you know, doing its thing. I say thank you to Nico. I hang up, and right away I notice. I told Nico, I said, this, you know, perfect storm, like late at night, I'm tired and techie stuff, and you know, just these obvious things you should be able to do when they're not going. But I wasn't really stressed, and I wasn't really worried. And when I was done with Nico and it worked, I was like, cool. But I was like, ah, oh, I'm so thankful, because I wasn't tripping. Like, I'm more that middle of the road, just kind of like hanging, just kind of chilling, just okay, that thing. And I was like, all right, that doesn't work. And before I went to bed, I finally got to like editing a movie, and iMovie didn't work. And I was like, okay, I'll just deal with it tomorrow. And I got up this morning and called, because I just wasn't sure if it was one of those apps you could just delete, because it was iMovie, and I didn't, you know, again, just who I am, not the biggest brain in the world, I just didn't know. And called someone, they're like, yeah, you can just delete that, because it's probably funky, it wouldn't work. Like, everything works on the phone except iMovie, and iMovie worked on my old phone. Everything just transferred over. So deleted it, loaded the new one, done. And I was like, it's Tuesday. On Saturday, if you'd have said, hey, by Tuesday you're gonna have this new iPhone XR, and you know, you're, oh, and then the woman's like, oh, I can lower your phone bill. I'm like, okay, great, do that. Like, it was just this easy, comfortable thing. And I was kind of bumming out about my phone and, you know, the problems I had with it for a while. And I'm like, you just get a new phone, you just get a new phone. I was like, you don't have the money, you're not getting a phone. You don't have the money, you're not getting a phone. And also I was like, well, you need a new phone. You have the money. You just paid rent and you have rent for August. You're good. And again, it was just this peaceful thing. It wasn't this big battle and this big debate, which it usually was in the past. I was going to spend money. You know, it was like, hey, what are you doing? You know, it's always my dad's voice in the back. Hey, 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 why is that fridge open? You know, that same kind of concept. And it was just peaceful. Went to bed. Called on my phone and that fix worked. And then had a client and I was talking to Mosher. And it just like I'm going, you know, I ended the call with Mosher. I said, you know, I'm going to go to the beach. I'm going to record a podcast and go to the beach. I go, I just don't know anybody who's saying that today. I don't know anybody that really sounds like me. But I've just ran into a bunch of people who've been, you know, stressing. And Mosher had this point. I wrote down a couple notes the last time we met. And he said, you know, people have this fear of not gaining. It's the culture of more. And I'm like, wow. Hence I wrote it down. Which puts us in this kind of constant state of losing. Humans are conditioned to suffer versus change. We have anxiety about losing things, driven by more. And it was just like, as he was saying this, it was just poetic. Because it's like, you know, as soon as you get out of college, you're what? Trying to get a job that makes a bunch of money. So you can get married and buy a house and then have kids and then start saving for their education. And now you need a bigger house. You need to make more money. And you made more money, now your car's old. So now you got to get a bigger car, better car. Now your wife needs a car. Your husband needs a car. And your, you know, child now needs a car. Now you need a bigger house. And now you need tuition for college for your child. It's just endless. And if you're, you know, you're 20, you got a job and you never made more money, you'd be like a total failure in most people's eyes. So we're in this constant, like, here it is. Here's the scenario. You're going to always want, need more. Done. Huh? Yeah, you're just going to always want and need more. You'll be in a constant state of losing just based on this culture of more. We got to get more, bigger, better. And when he said, like, you know, humans are conditioned to suffer versus change. Like, oh, you don't like that feeling? Do something different. Oh, you don't like striving to get more? Be at peace with that. And change. I don't like how that thing, that person, that place makes me feel. Don't go there. Don't talk to them. Don't do that. Change. I'd rather suffer. We're not saying that, but it's like how we are. We'll just stay here. I'm grinding. I'm over on this side. I'm just grinding. I'm supposed to do it. Pretty sure I have belief that I'm supposed to do it, and I get the cost and I get the price of it, and I don't really enjoy it, and I don't really feel better, but on paper, I just keep, you know, questioning, well, what's the end game, people? Where are you headed? The model of your life right now, if we just made notes, looked at your life, here's what you're doing, here's what you're saying, here's how you're acting, here's how you're responding. Where is that headed? Because if y'all think, well, one day the sea will open up like it did for Moses, and I'll just walk over to the other side, and there will be joy and peace and hope and love and tranquility and solitude and reflection. That's the only thing that I can guarantee you is not going to happen. It said, you can't change your life today. But you can change the direction of your life today. What are you pursuing? Why? I wrote down, my end game is the path I walk. I thought that was kind of cool. Like, what I want. Like, I want to end up, I want to get to, I want to be, is right now. Is me, is this version of me. I want to go to the beach today as this version with my dog and do what I do. I just want to enjoy this version of me. I got with Zen for over 4 years, been going to the beach for over 12 years, and I've been doing this stuff a long time, but I've never been me. Like, I think I'm better today than I was yesterday. I thought in March it was the best. April got better. May got better. June got better. And here it is, July. You know, podcast coming out in 2 days. And I'm like, oh, I'll just record it today. Then I'll go to the beach. And there's not a lot of weight. Not any pressure. There's no stress. I'm not thinking about what I don't have. I'm not thinking about what I want. I'm not thinking about tomorrow. I'm not thinking about money. I'm not thinking about bills. I'm not thinking about getting sick. I mean, it's just got to be the thing that I'm selling like the hardest right now. Because I get why people are kind of stressed. So I get why people are maybe not in their best place. So they're kind of letting a little kryptonite in. They're kind of having a little tainted view of their vista. They're letting a little stress in. Thinking, hey, right now I'm feeling this thing and I'm thinking this thing and what? You're listening to this. You've made it through every bad moment, every bad mistake, every bad decision. You've made it through them all. And I tell the people now, you're the best you've ever made. How are you going to not have some confidence and belief and faith in yourself now? You know, if someone said, I said this before in January, hey, come April, you're going to like not really care about money. You're going to kind of help people, not charge them. Like, huh? Yeah, you're going to pay your bills, be able to buy an iPhone. Huh? Wait, in April, why? Just like everything gets better, like the economy. No, pandemic hits in April. Economy goes to the tank. But you get 2 or 3 new clients. And as a matter of fact, Tom, I know you've been kind of thinking about this for a long time, but you've always thought in the back of your mind, wouldn't it be great to have online clients? You could really live anywhere. You couldn't get any new online clients, and you had three or four people that you came to your house or you went to their house. How are you going to make that happen? Well, I can't. Got it. Poof, it happened. How? Pandemic. People that weren't online became online, and then I got two or three more online clients. So now everyone I talk to trains online. I'm like, that happened. Like, that was kind of a dream or a wish. I remember mentioning it on my podcast going, I'm going to put that out. I'm looking for online clients. That's where I want to go. It's where I want to be. And I just thought the only reason was just that you could live anywhere. Just Skype, FaceTime, Zoom with anybody. But I was just so far from it. Here I am. Like, oh, I achieved that lifelong dream that I thought was going to take forever to get to. Nope, you got that now. Anybody not like, no, everybody loves it. Everybody's happy. Everybody's doing good. All my clients, best they've ever been. Every one of them. The oldest they've ever been, the best they've ever been. My tribe's winning. I'm winning. So I don't know. Don't know what my listening audience is. You know, maybe there's someone listening for the first time today, or maybe there's just a few people that have listened the entire time. Don't know. But that's what I'm selling now. Come to my well now, the new and improved water I'm selling is since April. Not a lot of people outside of my clients doing as well as I am. Able to focus on what I focus on, believe what I believe, and have the experiences that I'm having. Like, you know, the iPhone thing, that filled me up. Like, I've had that iPhone 8 for like 3 years. Maybe, you know, it's like I'm not that guy. I used to be for a minute. Got a new iPhone, just went and bought it. Brand new one, just went and bought it. Had the money, went and paid for it. And I used to like drop that phone. I didn't even have a case for it, neoprene case for it. Didn't care. Now it's like I got a phone case and I got a neoprene case and I really take care of it because I value those things more. But that was the iPhone 8. I got the XR, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I mean, the 12 is coming out. I don't care. I'm all excited. Look what I got. Look what I, how did I get this? July 2020, I got a new iPhone XR. Come on. What am I doing right? This is and I just got back from Tahoe. And I got a new tattoo. I said, Tommy's Treats, Tahoe and Tattoos. It's like the two things I kind of want to do if I have a little extra money. But Tahoe was fantastic. I think I spent $80. Most of that was gas. That was it. I'm like, you went to Tahoe, stayed where you stayed and did what you did and hung with those people and had those experiences. And, you know, Zen met his best friend. And it was $80. You know, and I kind of have money that I could spend. I didn't. I don't have to. Saving it. Different time. Best version. Bills are paid. Saving money. Having great experiences. Whilst the pandemic is happening. So, again, I'm stoked that I'm here. And I have something to share. So people are like, you know, I'm bumming out. I'm having a tough time. Like, well, you can listen to that podcast. That dude's doing good. What's he doing? He's thankful. And I said it to Scott. You know, I just wanted to put it on blast. I have less than most of the people I talk to. And I'm so thankful for what I have. It's like, how can you have more and not be more thankful than I am? Like, I had that iPhone and I was like the happiest dude. You know, everything wasn't perfect, but I wasn't really tripping, so that made me feel better. And I don't always get sushi, but sushi from a grocery store in California has always been really good, so it's always, you know, one of the things I've always done. And I just hadn't done it in a while, and it wasn't like, oh, don't spend that money. It was just whatever reason, I just hadn't. And part was like, you know, you make food at home, you know, make yourself a chicken sandwich, whatever. So I had happened to go to the store and I bought sushi. So last night, I just had that sushi, or this was Sunday night. So I got the phone, didn't even think I was going to get it, got delivered. You know, I'm looking at it, it's like a really badass phone. I mean, you look at it and touch it, and it's like, wow, this is, I mean, it feels like it's expensive and valuable. You know, it's just awesome. I love everything about it. And then that night, I was having sushi. And again, this is like kind of maybe funny, maybe silly. But to me, I was really aware how lucky I felt. Like, I was like, look at you having sushi, looking at your new phone. And I was just so content and so peaceful. And I get up Monday and I talk to a stressed client. A couple hours later, I'm talking to someone else who's not doing as well. They're not seeing what I see. They're not seeing in themselves what I see. So I'm like, all right, here's what I do now. I talk to people and I remind them how great they are. I share with them what I see and I challenge them to see that which I see in them. And I do it every day and I love it and I'm thankful. And then in between, I hug my dog and I go walk my dog and I'm present and I'm in those moments. And there's not a lot penetrating those moments. Not like I'm fighting off demons and battling. I just kind of like walk in, literally just walk in the earth, very present. And this podcast, I get like a bunch of notes and all this stuff from Tahoe. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to talk today. And so I really didn't look at notes for, like, I just said this morning, I said, I'm just going to start talking. I've done it in the past a bunch of times, but I really got used to having all those notes and having it kind of have this flow and this organization, and it's just kind of how my process became. But today I had so much on my mind of here's what I did, here's what I experienced. But there was this overwhelming, just the message. You got to share this message. You can get to Tahoe and you can get to everything else later. But like 2-3 days in a row, conversation after conversation, my story is what is possible. If I'm walking the earth with less than most, more thankful than most, maybe I got something to offer. If I'm close to you and I'm in your life, I tell you something, trust me, it's a fact. And it's typically a good thing. You are courageous enough. You are strong enough. You are brave enough. You will get through this moment. And you are. In lieu of how you might feel or the surrounding areas of your environment, you are the best you've ever been. Having confidence and faith in that, I get, is not quite familiar yet. But it doesn't mean it's not there, and it doesn't mean you can't tap into it. And that's what I'm saying, the within. I've gone within. Tom, how do you feel about this? Good, good. All right, how did that make you feel? Well, it actually made me feel good that I felt good. Well, why don't you keep doing that? I mean, I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm not trying to be fancy. I'm just saying this shit works. Because I keep getting better and I keep talking to people that are focused on some weird stuff. Not nothing to do with you. Nothing at all. Just ask yourself, that thing you're thinking about, what's it really got to do with you? If I swing my hand at your head, focus. Pay attention. But if you're just randomly choosing thoughts and letting them sit there and dwell and then worrying about things you clearly have no control over, you're just picking bad. Again, 2 and 2 is 4. You are making those choices. And not choosing something good is a choice. So whatever you're allowing in, you're allowing in. What you allow to continue will continue. And I'm not jumping up and down because of the choices I made. They weren't all fun, and they weren't all comfortable, and none of them were familiar. I'm just better. And that's the go-to. That's the win-win. If I'm better, it just, by default, it wins. Yeah, you don't have that. Yeah, but I feel better. You're not talking to that person. Yeah, but I feel better. Yeah, but you're doing, yeah, but I feel better. So I'm going to keep doing that. And then that just got better. And, you know, Hardwick's 49, Mosier's 49. And I'm like, you know, for 48, 49 years, I was not the version I am now. That's a long time. Longer than a lot of people I talk to, I was funky for longer than they were alive. But then you fast forward the next 6, 7 years, and I'm like, okay, now I'm as good as anybody, better than most. I mean, I haven't really talked to anybody that sounds like me. I don't talk to a bunch of people. But there's nobody that I talk to that sounds like me. I love my discussions with Brian and Tahoe and Scott. But yeah, I mean, both those cats are married. Both those cats got, you know, big jobs and homes. And, you know, it's a different scenario. And I'm not judging anybody. But if I can sound like this with what I have, why couldn't anyone, everyone else? And I don't have any guarantees, but I'm peaceful. I don't have a lot of what a lot of other people have, but I'm content. And again, less than I've ever had in my entire life, and I'm thankful. So I want every client, every person, every listener to get a little bit of the Kool-Aid that I'm sipping. I would love it if everyone I talk to, listen to the podcast, was like, I feel like Tom does. I'm the best I've ever been. I love my life. I'm so thankful for what I have, what I get to do, where I get to go. My health. So-and-so's health. Whatever it is, you're just almost brought to tears because you're so thankful and love what you have. No, I don't know a lot of people like that. But I am. I am that thankful. I love my life. I would not have to change a single thing, and I would do it as is for as long as God gave it to me. He said, you want as is that place, that dog right there, nothing changing for how many years? I'm like, 50? You know, like Scott was saying, you know, we're in a constant state of losing because we're in that culture of more. We're driven by more. We're afraid of not getting. We're afraid of losing things. The one thing Scotty said that just, it's like you're writing narratives. You're constantly writing narratives. What if I say this to my dad? What if I do this with my dad? What if I don't do that? What if I say, what if I, constantly writing new narratives. And to not do that is to be present. And I was like, well, now that stuff makes sense because I get it. The writing narratives, I was like, it blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, writing narratives, that's what we're doing. Well, if I get this, that happens. If I don't do that, then that'll happen. Well, tomorrow, this is, well, this year, if I don't, well, typically in the summer, I, well, you know, when that thing happens, well, if I don't get, constantly writing narratives. And how do you stop? You be present. How do you be present? Be thankful. That's what I'm selling. I think there's a title in there. I haven't given this one a title, but the last 2 minutes, I'm like, there's a title. Maybe it'll be writing narratives or not writing narratives. Because I wrote, last title was being present. So it's just kind of like another way of saying being present, not writing narratives. You know, Scott shared that with you. I was like, you know, I was always having a conversation. And I'm like, how can I have a conversation in my head if there's one voice? My voice. Like, who are you talking to? It's like, well, the voice, the other voice. Probably, you know, a lot of my dad's voice in there. put that right in the narrative. That's like the other half, and that's the noise. The looking, you know, there's a movie, I'm going to turn around, that movie's real, I'm going to watch it, oh my God! It's like, it's a movie. What's that got to do with you? Those people outside jumping up and down, screaming, what's that got to do with you? You're inside your house, safe, warm. That's my challenge. That's my homework. I'm going to talk about Tahoe and all its magic on the next episode. But this is totally what I wanted to say. So a couple, well, last note. It's like I always say, you know, go to water, you know, you're going to the a rock to get water, you know, you're going to that thing to get this thing from it. And I always said, you know, like, went to my dad, and I finally was like, look, you're not going to get water from that rock. And when I said that, Mosier said, you realized you didn't need his water. You realized you could operate, function on your water. And I was like, that's beautiful. You have your own water. You don't need your dad's water. I was like, again, that's not the funnest thing to say or embrace or experience, but ding, ding, it made sense. So two people during this corona that I train had these moments. And one, this woman who was furloughed is an artist. And at first, you know, kind of like, wow, I've never been furloughed, never lost my job, didn't see it coming. What am I going to do? Scary. Good. Phase one. Yep. Now, phase two, what are you going to do? Well, we started chatting, and she's like, I'm going to work on me, and I'm going to get a schedule, and I'm going to get a program and get organized and get some things done and focus on the right stuff. And next time I talked to her, she's like, I don't think I'm going to go back to my job. I was like, what? She's like, I think I'm going to pursue art. And I'm like, wow. She probably should have been doing this decades ago, literally decades ago. But she had to go through everything that she had to go through to get to this place. But she still was not going to ever quit her job and go, I'm going to pursue art. And then she's like, you know, it's kind of perfect because I got furloughed, so I still have health insurance. Listening to your podcast, I was like, okay, it's okay if I go into my retirement because if I need it. And she's like, I looked at it, and she goes, you know, I could probably chill for a couple years pursuing art and be okay. Now, if they call me back, I would take the job because of, you know, benefits and stuff, but I'm not going to really think about going back to work. I'm going to focus on my art. And I've been talking to this woman for a long time, and it was the most amazing thing I'd ever heard. Again, I'm not happy for pandemic. I'm just going to respond. What's the best for me? Well, hey, why don't... She never would have done that on her own. I was like, look at how she's responding. I was the most proud I'd ever been. And she explained why it was a good time. And she had told other people. When you start telling other people things you're going to do, you're kind of like not convincing yourself. You're like putting it in stone because you don't want to call up those X amount of people. Go, hey, remember when I was all fired up? I was going to pursue that thing. Well, I decided I'm afraid and not gonna. You start telling people because you don't want to tuck your tail and run. You're going, I'm going to commit. Talking to another client, works in reality TV. He was getting just grinding on this show, and he's like, the worst part is this show's going to end and the new isn't going to start, and I'm going to Vegas. So he's kind of freaking out about going to Vegas and people being around, and then going from one job that just ground him down right into another job. So I trained him a couple days ago, and he goes, well, I got a month break in between. And I started thinking, I'm like, that's perfect, because it's like that was kind of stressing him out, going from a one to the other, and he's got a break. And the other thing is, like, you know, you end a job, and it's like, well, when am I going to work again? You immediately start worrying about, well, when's the next job coming? How am I going to get more money? And I'm like, well, you know when your next job is. And I'm like, well, and then it was like kind of a worry going, wow, you know, July in Vegas. It's like, well, no, it's not. It's probably going to be August or September. You know, a little bit later is just a little bit better as far as the pandemic goes. So it's like everything about this moment that happened made his life better. Not planned. not designed, not orchestrated. And it was just like when you start recognizing, like, wow, I'm like, pretty good time just to focus on you. Because if he's working a lot at the end of a job, he gets stressed, overworked, doesn't sleep, and doesn't focus on eating. Then in between jobs, he'll start stressing about not having money and not working and the new job. And, you know, then he doesn't eat that great. So I'm like, well, here it is. You know when the job's ending. You know how long your break is. You know when you're working next. You know you're going back to work. You know you're going to have money. It's a perfect time to just attack, carpe diem, right now. Eat good. Move. Foam roller. You know, just become the best you. So it's about like recognizing this moment. And I was talking to Mosher. I said, you know, the one thing, Scotty, that I feel is like, you know, life did this thing to me so I could look at life and come out the other end and be better. And I'm like, I just see the same thing for you. Like, what you're going through isn't exactly familiar or comfortable, but I know you're better. And I know because you're handling this, you're better. And when you get all the way through it and just have a little hindsight, you're going, oh, that was that period I was growing. And it wasn't about doing more, making money. It was just that personal path, which is just kind of you and yourself. So, I like the stories, and I can recognize them, and I like watching people experience, you know, new things and embrace them and grow and evolve and, you know, just search for that enlightenment and just know it's not all about how much you have, how much you make, you know, how easy your life is or who's in your life. It's you. You know, digging within, looking at yourself, stopping slow and pause and reflecting, and then growing each and every day, moment by moment. Is what I'm doing right now making me better? Providing an opportunity for the newer, better version of me to evolve, to move forward. And that's what I think our duty is. I think that's your job. More so than any other job that you're making money. And that's what I was saying with Scotty. And I'll end there. You're the best you. You got to be able to sit in that. You got to be able to just sit in that canoe and go, wow, I got here. I'm me. I'm this version. I did that. Way to go. And you just be able to just sit in that long enough for you to know it's real. And it's like armor, and it's your foundation. And now you just get to kind of chill and build upon it. Come to my well, by the water I sell. You are worth it. In your life. Trust me. Believe me when I say that. Let's begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, cross our legs, eyes closed, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. Draw the inhale through the nose, slow it down. Allow the exhale out the mouth, slow it down. We're going to stay connected by connecting our mind to our breath. We're going to have to stay focused to keep that flow and keep it slow. And that will make us present. That will bring us right here, now. If anything else enters the space between ears, kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. do that to the best of your ability. For 180 seconds, I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo, congrats, another successful pro you moment. This is an example, I mean it really is. It's like here you take 180 seconds just to sit there and just breathe and stay connected with your mind and your body, and you block out everything knowing that that one moment's not going to change your life, but a bunch of those little moments will change the direction of your life. If you don't know where you're headed, you should know. If you don't want to be headed where you're headed, you should stop and pause. Don't choose suffering over change. The fear is just not knowing what lies on the other side of the door. But what I've experienced is typically it's better. If you're walking that pro-you path, deeming yourself worthy, the unknown is a little less scary, because you will that which you are like. So the better you are, the more you attract better things. But it's a heavy road, man, that pro-you path, deeming yourself worthy, stop and pause and reflecting, facing fear, easily stated, much harder to apply. Deem yourself worthy. You have to decide that you are worth it, whatever it involves. Been saying it a lot lately. My story's what's possible. My story is what's possible. Peace and God bless.